Welcome to a special edition of the Gazelle Podcast, a special Survivor edition. We'll talk all about this latest season of Survivor Second Chance. I have PM Fantasy Football Podcast, which I'm sometimes a guest of, host Chris Morgan on the line with us.
Thanks for having me, Apollos.
No problem. Glad to hear from you. And Victor Porter, freaking guest of mine. You know, we did a Game of Thrones preview. We talked a lot about things like that and just general television. And Victor is a Survivor enthusiast.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, and we're just here. We'll talk about the show first off, which I don't know about you two, but after that previous season of Big Brother, this season Survivor has just been a welcome addition into my reality television watching.
It has been a breath of fresh air. I mean, really, the last two or three seasons of Big Brother have been horrible. So getting this season of Survivor with the amount of quality castaways they have and the amount of gameplay has just completely made me forget about how crappy Big Brother was. So it's a welcome addition, absolutely.
I never forget how crappy Big Brother is, because usually by mid-season, I can't stand every individual on there. But this season of Survivor has been the highlight of my Wednesdays. And it has, I've watched Survivor since the beginning, but it hasn't always been the highlight television show of that evening that it airs on. And this time, for me, when I come home after work on a Wednesday night, I have to watch Survivor.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. It's like you said, Chris, there's a lot of players this season. We've seen a lot of twists and turns and blindsides. Jeff even pointed out in one of the tribal councils that everybody sitting there in the jury had been blindsided. But this most previous episode we saw Sierra go home and then Stephen Fishwork get eliminated. Were you guys surprised? Fishwork, what I call him? Fishworth? Yeah, Fishback.
Fishback.
Got him mixed up with Wentworth, Kelly Wentworth.
I wasn't completely shocked that they took Fishback out. I mean, just from my viewpoint of the game, in Survivor, the more dangerous players are the ones who are capable of pulling off big moves. So I would be targeting somebody like Fishback from the beginning, and they tried to get him out the week or the episode before. So the fact that they went back and tried to cut off the head of that snake does not surprise me whatsoever, because he is where Joe is a threat in competitions, Steven is a threat to make big moves. So I thought it was smart of them to get rid of him while they had a chance.
Well, if I'm correct, Steven had the that surprise or secret, not so much immunity, but a secret player, a secret move that he advantaged, that he won. And once that happens, once that person wins that, if you can't get rid of him, you got to get rid of him, because, you don't know what it is. It could be his vote counts as two, or he gets to not participate. Gets immunity immediately. You never know. So as soon as you can get rid of them, as soon as they have that, you got to get rid of them. And if I remember correctly, they had just tried to get rid of him the episode before he actually came home. So I don't think he was in the crosshairs. And the fact that he didn't expect to be in the crosshairs again was kind of shocking to me.
The thing about the advantage, the only way that advantage helps you is if nobody knows you have it. If you have to eliminate yourself from an immunity challenge to get that advantage, it doesn't really help you, because instead of being somebody who could probably pull strings from behind the curtain, you're now in the forefront. You're now a target because nobody knows what it is except the people you choose to reveal it to. And
exactly,
once you're a target in Survivor, you're going to go home almost, unless you win. And
unless you win immunity after immunity.
Yeah, which I thought that was a huge flaw in his game to go after that, because he was actually in a pretty good position overall, and that really damaged him because of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
I'll touch on what you said, Victor, because I had the exact same feeling after I watched it. I just don't understand how he didn't see that he was in the crosshairs of everyone else. I mean, I understand.
Exactly.
You know, coming from where Chris said, and I actually didn't think about that, you know. I mean, that did put him in the forefront of targets once he jumped out there and went after and won the advantage. And so he was so headstrong on getting out Joe, he just lost sight of what everybody else was really thinking.
Yeah, they had just tried to vote you out, man. It's not. I know that, you know, we see it, you know, a week later, but I don't. I always thought it was just pretty much like the next day in Survivor time. So they just tried to vote you out yesterday, and now you don't think that they want to vote you out now? That didn't make a lot of sense. The best advantages I've seen thus far, and I'm actually loving this element of the game, is the one where someone gets a clue that tells them where a clue will be during a competition, where you got to kind of fake fall or something and reach behind the leg of something and grab a clue or something where nobody's watching, and then you get in your pocket, and later you read it when you're alone, and then you find a meaning out of it. I've absolutely loved those.
Those are brilliant. Stuff like that. I love the way they've done the immunity idols this season. Like, you have to grab them at the competition, or they're underneath the shelter. Just something that's way better than, hey, they're out in the middle of nowhere, good luck finding it. But yeah, like, you have the chance of them seeing you immediately, and you have to be very stealthy, or you're not going to be able to get that idol. And it adds in the, if you don't have the guts to go for it, then you just miss out on the idol. It brings that element into play too.
Yeah, that's I was confused by Jeremy. Like, when, you know, Jeremy had to make an excuse about the food and walked off. In a game like that, I'm surprised nobody paid attention.
Well, there has been a couple of people that have walked off, and immediately everybody starts saying they're looking for the idol, which in itself puts the target on your back, because the assumption is they found it. Because they're not going to come back, yeah, I found it. So they're going to come back quiet about it, and they're going to come back announcing it. So you just assume that they have it because you know they were looking for it. And once that happens, it's a dangerous spot to be in. And
once the idea is out there, the all value in having the idol is almost gone. Because they can use that against you to try to take you out as soon as they can, like, basically perform Inception and get that going with everybody else. Like, if there are people who think you have the idol, you are a huge target, and you're going to be a huge target the rest of the game until you play it.
And also, I mean, he went off like that, about his stomach being hurt. Wouldn't you pay attention to if a camera guy was following him? I mean, they've been on the show before. Like, I mean, if he was really going to the bathroom, I don't think they'd follow him to go watch him pee.
I really don't understand. I'm not 100% sure how intrusive those cameramen are, because they're right there at all times, and I don't...
Well, they're trying to catch every pivotal moment of the show. So, I mean...
I get that. I really do, but if they follow you into the... Because they're not actually going to take footage of you, going to the bathroom and then decide, well, I guess we'll cut that out. No. They think you're really about to use the bathroom. They probably take the camera off their shoulder and walk away so you can have a moment to yourself.
Yeah.
But if they follow you, then I would assume, if I'm playing, that Joe ain't sick, he's looking for an idol.
Exactly. Well, he got to go.
I guess their thought process is, how could you possibly find an idol in the dark? They don't know that there's a torch lit up, like, right in front of it.
Yeah.
It's just pitch black to them. So it would be, unless they have like a light for it, why would you assume that he could even find an idol if he had a clue at that point?
Also, I like the way they're doing it with the hiding it in the camp, where they're hiding it during a competition. I think it forces, first of all, kudos to the producers of the show to think this through. Because what it does, it forces real gameplay. It forces a craftiness, a shrewdness. You got to be smooth how you get it. Otherwise, everybody knows you found something. I mean, if they see you looking up under stuff, then they know you're looking for something. They want to know what you're looking for, and if you got it. But the fact that you kind of have to be sly about it, it raises the game, in my opinion. It just simply raises the game. You got a bunch of people who are smart. You got a lot of smart players here.
Well, Kelly, for instance, she had to, she got her another idol. It's the second one. And she found it under the camp. I was I feel like she should have been a bit smarter when she was talking about how Abby was still hanging around the camp. I just don't see why she couldn't have just made an excuse like, oh, I'm just laying down, or she's doing something under there. Like, you could have found a reason to crawl under there.
Well, the only, thing you can get Abby.
I think Abby's pretty stupid.
She is.
So, I mean, I don't see... You can talk... Like, you can convince me that if, like, Joe or Kimmy's still hanging out there, that, you know, I'm not going to do this. But I think you can get away with murder in front of Abby.
See, I don't, because she's such a blabbermouth. Like, if you even ask her a question incorrectly, she will completely change her opinion of you. Therefore, if
she
you do anything... Yeah, anything out of the ordinary, and she's telling somebody, she's not going to keep her mouth shut. So I think Abby would be one of the last people I would want to be hanging around the camp trying to get that idol.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want her hanging around the camp talking to me. I tell her, you got to go. Ain't nobody else at the camp. You're not allowed in here. And that's just the rules. You're not allowed to be alone with me.
You stick the machete in her face and tell her what's what.
I will hold that machete up and say, look here. You say three more words, and you will not have a tongue to say them with after that. Because I don't like you, and I really want you gone. You ain't got to be suspicious of me. I put your name down every time we go. That's who's writing your name. You ain't got to worry about who's doing it. I'll tell you. Abby, how you spell your name? I yell it always back there when I'm doing the post.
Well, you know, if you're listening right now, you know that in the special two-hour episode, Sierra was eliminated first, and then Steven went out next. But what were you guys' opinion of Sierra on her second time around playing?
I think Sierra is a really strong player. Obviously, she has physical shortcomings. She's worthless in challenges.
Yeah.
But she is capable of manipulating people enough to get her on her side. I mean, you saw that on her first go around. She found her way into the cracks of a lot of different alliances, and that's what made her such a dangerous player, is because she was trying to make big moves. She was not trying to get carried to the end like so many people like her. So anybody who's willing to play the game, make stuff up to further herself, they're dangerous. If you're not completely tight with her, she's one of those people you gotta get out.
You're right. I agree completely. I actually think she's very smart. I think she's crafty. I'm glad she's gone, because she's not one of the people I want to win. But at the same time, I can see her being crafty enough and manipulative enough to get a lot further had she not gone, had they not voted her out.
Yeah, she has a way of using her words to manipulate people, and she was starting to gain a little favor for me. Did you see when Fishback was talking to her about joining together before they voted out? Who was right before Sierra?
Was that Savage?
Not Savage. I guess he was talking about
Wigglesworth.
Wigglesworth. Yeah. When they were talking about voting out Kelly Wigglesworth. And Sierra, did you see the look on her face when he was talking to her?
Yep.
Like, she wasn't really looking him in the eye. She kept the same expression on, just looked off anywhere but near him. And she was just kind of like, okay, we can do that. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And I kind of appreciated it, because I love the cold, calculated bitch people on the show. Like, if I don't like it when people, it's one thing to be fake, you know, because you're going to have to do that. And if you're lying and get your way around, you can, cool, I appreciate it. But sometimes I just like the good old people that are upfront with, I'm not gonna act this way.
One thing I liked about the way Sierra played, she wasn't willing to let herself be thrown out there. Like, I remember when they had a strong five and Savage was like, "Oh, we'll just tell her we're voting Sierra." Like, that completely flipped her game, because she was like, I am not having that. Anybody who's willing to stand up for themselves and not just take what's given to them, I completely am on her side when it comes to stuff like that. That's why I thought she was a really strong player. She was willing to fight for herself, and she had an idea of what to do, which is why she was dangerous and they voted her out.
Yeah, you mentioned Savage. I was a Savage supporter, but I couldn't be mad at the way he was eliminated.
The most brilliant blindside of all.
It was. I had no idea.
And it's all because what's her name had an idol and nobody knew it.
I forgot about it.
Play the idol. Everybody. I'd forgotten she had the idol too, but everybody voted for her except for her. Who she voted for, which was Savage, if I remember correctly. And that's how he got out on one vote. That's brilliant.
No, it was
it two?
No,
it was her and Sierra, right?
It was her, Sierra, and Abby were together.
Okay.
So those three voted out Savage. It didn't.
I thought it was a few votes too, like just those girls.
I think they only had to announce two of them. I don't think they revealed the third one, but it was obviously Savage, or they would have shown it. But yeah, that was a classic case of you got to split the votes, or something like this can happen.
Speaking of splitting votes, what the hell was Stephen Fishback thinking?
I couldn't believe that he voted for Abby and Joe instead of Joe twice.
Oh my God! Like what?
I didn't understand that either. With his advantage having two votes, and he was wanting Joe out. Why did he split his own vote?
It's as smart as Fishback is, and as well as he knows the game, he made a few crucial errors in the last couple episodes. When he won the reward challenge and took Jeremy and Tasha and further alienated the other people against him, that was a mistake.
Oh,
going for the advantage and the immunity challenge, that was a mistake. And then not splitting votes and voting one for Abby and one for Joe, that was the one that ultimately cost him the game.
Yeah, you know, I never understand. I think the best way to do that, when you win a challenge like that, is to try to bring some people over to your sides. To your side that aren't on
Jeremy
your side.
Jeremy was already with him. Like, yeah, he might have been a little pissed if he didn't get to eat or something, but he used an idol on you, bro. You're already aligned. You got to bring more people into your alliance if you're going to make it further.
And this is a season where everyone's playing. They're smart. Like, I think Jeremy would have understood if you came to him later and was like, look, I had to do this for the better of us.
Or if he only took one of them.
He would have understood that.
Yeah, or just one of them. Like, I really think especially somebody like, I don't know, it would have been easy for him. He should have just taken someone that wasn't on his side, not so much away from him like Joe that just he wouldn't come back around, but just like Spencer, for example.
That's who I thought he should have taken.
I thought he should have took Spencer. I agree. But my logic on that is, see, everybody's expecting you to use that moment as a way to gain not an advantage so much, but sympathy amongst your other players when you have an award like that. Matter of fact, the award is like that to force a rift between people, or further a rift that's already existing between a group of people. That's why they allow you to bring two people instead of five, instead of the other members. Me personally, I think the safest thing to do is to say I'm going to bring who came in second and third. Therefore, it doesn't look like I'm trying to do gameplay.
Yeah, it looks as objective as possible. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you. I'm just awarding the other two people that if I didn't win, they would have. And I feel like they got further. They deserve a win. And if they're not part of your alliance, you may gain favor with them. If they're already part of your alliance, your logic... what you're telling them about, you're just taking who was second and third, you can't fault nobody for that.
Yeah.
But when you literally say, I'm trying to repair a rift that I had with somebody, so I'm taking her along, and that means one of your other closest allies gets kind of thrown, like, well, screw you, I'm going to take this girl along who I'm not even aligned with, that just made it look bad.
Yeah, the downside of the reward challenges is that, okay, yeah, you get closer with the people in your own alliance, but everybody else on the island is just, they have time to talk amongst themselves about how they can't believe that you took them. And you basically rally those troops to turn against you.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, it's so strategic. It's such a strategic part of the game to choose the right people for rewards. And he did a horrible job, and it ultimately was his downfall.
You know, that's something that scares me about even winning those competitions. Like, what would scare me is just giving everyone else an opportunity to sit back and talk.
Yeah.
Without me.
I mean, it gives you a chance to to bring a couple people that you haven't been as close to and maybe bring them into your alliance. But if you choose the people that you're closest to, everybody else is now further against you because you clearly favor them exactly. over everybody else.
Right. Openly and clearly. And they all are mad at you because you didn't choose them. And another award that they're going to do eventually that is designed to basically cause further problems is when they bring family in, and whoever wins that one will be allowed to allow one cast member or to bring their family as well to the camp with whoever the winner is. And that in itself is a dangerous one because everybody wants to see their loved one, so you're guaranteed to piss off everybody else. And that's why I would go whoever came in second place. If I were to win that challenge, I would go whoever came in second place, not trying to say I'm going to let my friend see his wife versus my boy see his son or something like that. I'm going to literally give it to second place. That makes sense. That is the only way to do that without showing any favoritism. Because otherwise, it's a trap.
Yeah, I mean, and people notice and pay attention to things like that. I don't see how he didn't.
Someone who knows the game as well as he did, he has to watch those last couple episodes, and like he will probably cry himself to sleep for how poorly he managed his game.
You're right. He will literally cry himself to sleep. That's not an expression. He might.
The look on his face. The look on his face when he got voted off, that pretty much said he's gonna cry himself to sleep.
He handled it with class.
He was
though.
Shocked.
I guess. He handled it with class. Like he did immediately, like just say, "Hey guys, good job." You know.
They all handled it with class, I think, except for Cass. Cass is the one that flipped everybody off, weren't you?
Yeah.
I think she flipped him off when she was leaving, and the next episode when she was brought in as part of the jury, she flipped him off again. If I remember correctly, I think she's the only one that's not done it.
She's the only one that hadn't handled it with class. There's been a couple that like got up and they were like, you could just see the salt seeping from their face. like Sierra or, you know, Wigglesworth. Like, I mean, they look like they wanted to just go off. And you know, I miss that about Sierra, by the way. I miss how her every time they go to tribal council and she just take over. Even though I got a little bit annoyed with her, like, saying, come on, everyone, play, make big moves. I got a little annoyed of that, but I liked it a little bit. I liked that she was willing
to
speak out.
That was her only ploy, though, because she was in the minority basically the whole time.
Yeah.
So she was trying to flip position, and that was really her only play, so I understand why she was doing it. That makes it a little bit easier to swallow.
Yeah.
Where I don't view it as annoying as maybe you do. Because I was like, what else is she supposed to do? Just roll over and die?
Yeah. Like, I understand why she did it, but I was just always just like, okay, here we go again.
I find it a tad bit annoying. I agree that what you're saying, that's the only place you hit left. I agree. And she played it. And she did it. Well, win or lose. But one of the things I can't stand, it annoys the hell out of me, is when somebody gets diarrhea of the mouth right there. In tribal camps and tell everything. And it's obvious that Jeff knows things that's going on in the camp because all his questions are geared to stir it up.
Right.
And it's like, you've been off with Jeremy in the woods a lot talking privately lately. Yeah, we got an alliance going and me and him are really fond of each other. We decide all the blacks are staying this time. Yeah, we're getting rid of the white folks as soon as we can. And it just ticks me off. I said, why would you tell everything?
Yeah, it drives
me nuts. Because that's another place where you paint up a big-ass target on your back. When you go out there and tell everybody's business.
As soon as they get down and get there and sit down and just can't even clench their buttholes ready yet. And here comes Jeff talking about some, story of the day. Joe, you first time you had one. How does that feel?
Yeah. And it just puts them on the hot seat. Yeah, like bringing up Joe first thing. It's like, hey, man, you're the biggest target out here. How does that feel?
Yeah, exactly.
I would say something like, man, get off my back. Ask somebody else. Leave me alone. Is it a requirement that you have to answer honestly? Is it a requirement? Can you lock down some of the information? Just answer the question. Yeah, you're right. And that's it. That's all you get out of me. That's it, man. I'm not going to sit and elaborate. That's all you got.
Yeah.
Is it a requirement that they have to just have diarrhea at the mouth? I can't stand that.
Yes, and
he always goes after a dumb one, Abby. And he knows she's just about to tell everything, how she feel about it. They don't like me in camp. I mean, she's going to tell everything.
And it takes the smallest thing.
I don't know why they don't like me.
It takes the smallest thing for her to decide everyone hates her.
Yeah.
Like when, I forget who it was, but they just asked her a question and she didn't like the tone of it apparently. And it like completely changed what she was planning on doing from that. It's just like,
Stephen Fishback asked.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was Fishback.
Trying to get her to vote with him.
She worries my nerves. She works my nerves.
She's like the worst kind of villain.
After watching her.
She's the worst kind of villain because she's horrible at the game and annoying to watch. She's not like there to just stir stuff up. Which I think they would want her to do. She's just a waste. Like, completely.
I don't think she's a villain. I think that she's risen as a villainous mentality because she's just the way she is. But she's more of an ego of a villain, if you will, because she's too stupid to actually plan anything. But yet, she can cause problems, and she does. I mean, she's suspicious of everybody. I mean, if you go out to the bathroom and she's counting to 10 and you ain't back yet, oh, he's out there looking at Ida. I mean, that's the way she's suspicious, and it makes her villainous, but she's not. I agree with you. She's not even a great villain. She's more of an Igor, like just the stupid henchman of a villain.
She would be one of the people that I would want out first because she is more than happy to blow up anybody's game.
Anyone.
And it is, I don't know, in a game like Survivor where paranoia is so rampant, how can you keep somebody in the game and like trust that they are going to help you get further? Because she would be the last person that I would trust on that island.
I did like how they named their little alliance the Witch's Coven.
Yeah.
I did kind of like that.
I'm kidding.
None of those girls were to be trusted. But hey, we started off this conversation right there about talking about Joe. You know, Jeff was saying about Joe. Why does Joe insist on winning all? I understand by now he realizes he's a target. He's going to keep winning. But what was he thinking?
This is Joe's strategy. He has none. Yeah. It's win or go home. And the fact that they didn't vote him out was actually kind of surprising to me. But he clearly didn't learn anything from his first go-around because he put the target on himself by winning everything. So he gets a second chance at Survivor and wins even more. Like, this past Tribal Council was the first chance that they could have voted him out this entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His social game hasn't improved at all.
And he acknowledges that.
Yeah, it's just, he keeps saying, like, I need to improve on that, but you've already, I think even one of them, I think it might have been Wentworth, one of the girls was like, he already made his bed, he's got to lie in it. It's like, yeah, he already almost eliminated himself unless he wins out. I think that was his one get-out-of-jail-free card. He's got to win the rest of the immunity challenges or they're going to take him out. That's the only way, that's the only smart move possible.
He approaches the game like a Luke Skywalker initially, like the dumb farm boy that doesn't have anything going for him except he has a big heart. And every time in a competition, he's compelled to compete. It's like he can't stop himself from, and I don't think he's arrogant enough to say, I'm trying to dominate, but he thinks because it's a competition, I got to be there, I got to give it my all, and then he keeps winning. And like you said, his game hasn't improved since the last time he was there. He was a threat the moment they introduced him. They all knew he was a threat because he can win competitions. Thus, he kept winning them. Well, not necessarily thus, but in my opinion, he just approaches it like, it's just, you know, you got to give it your all. And that's just the way he approaches it. And I don't necessarily think he's the smartest, however. He's probably the one I will pull for to win, simply because when you win that many competitions, you got something, man. You got, if it ain't nothing but dumb heart, it ain't brains, but you got something.
And he's likable, too. I mean, just look at, I will give him credit for rallying people on his side in that last tribal, because he was the obvious target, like, oh, Joe finally didn't win immunity. Therefore, we need to get him out now. And the fact that he had five people on his team, even without his vote, that still came to his side and voted out Fishback, that shows that maybe he does have what it takes to make it to the end. I think they would be foolish to do that, but I thought for sure he would be going last tribal, and the fact that he didn't shows maybe he has built some quality relationships this time around.
See, I don't know if I can say
he's built relationships, but he's charismatic as all get out.
Well, he has built a few. I mean, him and Kimmy were pretty close, you know, and he lost
Wigglesworth.
He lost his ally, Wigglesworth. But I think he's one of those people that just likes to win. So he can't help himself, you know?
He doesn't know how to throw competitions.
Yeah, yeah. He cannot help himself. Like, he's good at everything. He's probably good at everything athlete. So when he comes out there, he just feels like he has to win. And I think that's just what he does.
He probably knows it's a bad idea for him to win all those competitions, but he just can't help himself.
Yeah.
He's compelled to do it. As soon as he gets up, I got to give it my all. I got to win. He just keeps fighting to win. But I like him. He's not. If he wins, I can understand him winning, and I'm perfectly fine with it. There are others. If he gets kicked out, which I think he should be voted out. If not, this coming Wednesday, extremely soon. If he gets to the end with anybody, save Jeremy, I don't think that they'll vote for him to win if he gets that far. But there are others that are underdogs that I'd actually like to see win. For me, Tasha, I like Tasha. I think she just comes across like a good woman. Just a nice, nice lady you'd like to know.
And Tasha's a really strong player.
Villainous.
Yeah, I think Tasha's
she's
strong.
A physically strong player.
Yeah, she's physically and mentally strong. In her first season, when she got stuck on that tribe with Cass and Spencer, like, she did really well in the challenges. She made it really deep in the game, and I think she's set up to do the same. She's in a very, very strong position right now.
Yeah, I think she's totally fine. I think she's one of the better all-around players still left.
Who do you think's the best?
I think Jeremy's the best player left.
I thought going into this season, I just think when I say best, I mean all around.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
I thought going into this season, Jeremy had the best shot at winning, because just since I've watched all of these people play, Jeremy has the best combination of street smarts and physical strength. And I thought that his game, he would be the one most likely to make it all the way. And I haven't seen anything to deter me from that perspective so far.
Yeah. He doesn't have a mean streak. Sometimes you need a bit of a mean streak. Although I agree everything you're saying about Jeremy. If it wasn't, it's hard to say, because part of me wants Jeremy to win. But I feel like if Joe continues to go on, Jeremy won't win next to Joe. I just think that they're going to like Joe better, and they're going to give it to him versus Jeremy, unless Jeremy.
I don't think Joe can get on. I don't see him. I don't know how he would.
I don't think there's any way that Jeremy and Joe could both end up in the final three. One of them's going to take out the other one at some point. Even with Joe winning as many challenges as he has, there are easy ways for somebody to make a case that, he outplayed me, but I outwitted him. So I think head-to-head with Joe at the end isn't necessarily a death sentence if it's somebody capable of forming coherent sentences in the final tribal, which most of the time does not happen. Like, at final tribal, it's usually there for the taking if you can make a case for yourself. Most people are just terrible at it.
Yeah.
Well, who do you think left that could make a better case against Joe? Be smart enough to go against Joe and say, "I outwitted Joe." That's still remaining.
Yeah, I mean that will be something that they kind of determine over the next few episodes. If somebody makes a big move, then they could certainly overtake him. Like, I did more in the game than he did. He wasn't even at risk most of the game.
I think Spencer is in a position where if he were to somehow get to the end with Joe, and we're talking getting there with Joe and talking Joe into a loss. I think he could find a way to
especially
that's
after
what I was Joe. Thinking.
Especially after winning that immunity against him.
Yep, head to head, right against him.
Yeah.
And he and Spencer, you know, you got to give it to Spencer because Spencer at the beginning was at the very bottom and has now found himself in a pretty decent spot now.
He's in a really solid place right now because he's kind of in the middle. He could kind of go with either side still at this point. And the thing about Spencer's situation on Survivor is he had to deal with the exact same thing in his first go around. Like the Brains tribe was so pathetic that he was battling from the bottom the entire time and still made it really far in the game. So that works to his advantage. And the fact that he has relationships with both of the remaining, I don't know if you can necessarily call them alliances anymore, but really with the powers that be on both sides, he is set up to make a deep run once again.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. I think Spencer's the one that could make a best case. Probably the only one I think that can make a great case over Joe. The rest of them, I can't see. I would see Joe winning. I just can't see it.
Yeah,
the other way.
I think Spencer would be the one. Spencer, I think Kelly Wentworth, if you know, if a few more things went her way, I think she could talk herself over him.
Yeah, I mean, she's already made a couple of huge moves, and the fact that she's still remaining after being on the bottom rung for so long. Yeah, I mean, you could totally make that case.
And Victor, you said, I know you said Jeremy didn't have a mean streak. Was, you know, I don't think I would call it mean, but I think he's willing to do what's necessary to get ahead, if that makes any kind of sense. You know, he may not be mean about it, but they got out Wigglesworth. That was his partner. And he voted against her and didn't tell anyone else and found a way to talk himself back into good graces with Tasha.
Yeah, well, Tasha doesn't really have other options either. She can jump ship from Jeremy and then go to the bottom of another alliance.
Yeah, but Tasha seems like the type to stick to her morals, you know. And if he were to do something like that again, I think she'd just do it. Like she wouldn't think that much about that part.
Yeah, she even came out and said it. Like that was their one time. If they do it again, it's done.
Yeah,
she did say that. Well, I like Tasha a lot. She's one of my faves that's still in the game right now. I do have a question about one person. Now, I don't think this... I think things have to go horribly wrong for this person to even win. And I'm not 100% sure he knows he's playing a game. And that's Key. I kind of think Key thinks he's just on Safari. I don't necessarily get that he's actually trying. Do either one of you have any comment on that one?
Okay, I'm a huge fan of Keith, personally.
I like him as a person, he just don't seem to be playing.
I think he's a great guy, and I think he's a really strong competitor. I mean, even in his first time on Survivor, he won a lot of competitions. He's been in a lot of them this season. He just happens to be going up against Joe. But his downfall is his strategy, or lack thereof, because he's not pulling any strings. He's one of those... The only way he would win is if he was sitting next to somebody whom the jury did not like and could not make a case for themselves.
He'd win if he was sitting next to Abby. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's why I asked, because it just seems like his gameplay or strategy, if you will, is just non-existent. But he's one of those good old guys that you really like him. He's a great... co-star. He's just not a star. He's not the intelligent one that's been able to manipulate people or pull strings. He's not the greatest with this group in terms of challenges this season. And he's just like literally, what do they call it in Big Brother? Coat rider?
Floater.
He's literally floating to me. In my opinion, he's floating because he's not on anybody's radar. Absolutely not. He's standing next to him and they don't even think he's there. He's just not a threat on any level, and he may be one of those that you want to take to the end because you think you can beat him, but it just seems like he stopped playing at all. I mean, anytime you hear him, he's basically saying, guys, come on over here for dinner, and that's pretty much it. You don't see him say much.
I mean,
like that.
I don't think he's technically a floater. I think floater really applies to people who just float from whoever's in power to the next. He's not really playing that kind of game. He's more just there.
I know what you mean. I'm not saying he's right. going from whoever's in power.
Right. I just think that's in Big Brother. I think that's what the term floater really means. But like when they came up with the five under the shelter, and he was like, "Yeah, sounds good to me." It's like, yeah, that's his strategy, is just going along with what other people tell him. But he's great for TV. I mean, when he was when they were getting pelted with rain under the shelter, and he was like, "My friend asked me if Survivor's fun. Hell no, it ain't fun. Going on a cruise is fun." Like, that's just, those are the kind of lines that make me love Keith. I love that guy.
I was going to say, yeah, I kind of agree with you, Chris. He's not a floater by like the what they mean when they say floater on Big Brother. I think since floater is like a word to use for a person in his situation, I think he's a form of a floater. Like, he's just, like you said, he's kind of just in the background. But the thing is, he's in a good spot, though. I mean, there's 9 people left. Is it 9 or 8 or 9?
I think it's 9.
Yeah, there's 9 people left. And while he is not on anyone's radar, and, you know, you could say he hasn't made a big move, he's still got plenty of time to do that while sitting in the background.
But it has, now, I'll be honest with you. I remember when he was in Survivor, I can't remember everything he did during his time the first time. Did he make moves during that season that you can recall?
No, he didn't make any significant moves. He didn't make the moves. It was just him. He won challenges, but he was not calling any of the shots the same way he's playing it this time around. So he would have a hard time winning over a jury unless he was sitting next to somebody like Abby.
Abby.
I think almost everyone left except Abby would beat Keith.
Yeah,
if they made it to the end.
I mean, because I don't know what he could say. Like, he doesn't. As of right now, though, there's still plenty of game left. You know, Keith can turn it around. For right now, he's okay, and he's okay enough to get along in the game. But
yeah, the way he can get votes,
getting by.
Yeah, the way he could get votes is he's built good relationships because people like him.
They do generally like him. They do like
it. It all I think with the quality of game player this season, that the jury would be more likely to vote for who played the game the best instead of who do they like the most or hate the least. So I don't like his chances unless he actually gets in the game, gets involved, and takes out some big players. Because right now, I don't think he's done nearly enough to convince a jury that he's worthy of $1 million.
If they didn't do sound bites with him, I forget he's on the show. That's just how I see it, because he's barely there. I mean, he does great sound bites. He's hilarious.
When he was like driving the golf cart or whatever around the island.
I wouldn't even know he's there. I'm telling you. I'd be like, is Keith still here? I'm back here.
What about Kimmy's chances of winning the game?
Slim to none.
Yeah, I think so too.
I can't think of anything she's actually done this entire season.
But I think she's a strong enough player to do some things. It's just, I don't know. Like, her alliance has almost dissolved a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be impressive if she made it to the end, because I don't know anybody that she's close enough to actually pull off a big move. She doesn't have an idol. She's probably not going to win any challenges.
I mean, her closest person is Jeremy or Joe, right?
I guess it would be Joe, but the fact that we don't even know and the season is 2/3 over.
Yeah.
I mean, that says something about how poorly she's played.
And she doesn't even seem to really be trying to do anything to remedy that. Like, she's just kind of hanging out.
She's just there. She's a number at this point.
Yeah, that's true. She's a number. That's about it.
Who would you guys say you think has the best chance to win Survivor Cambodia?
I think it's Spencer. I think he's in the best position right now, because he's not the On one side, you have the biggest threat is Joe. On the other side, it's Jeremy. And you have Spencer kind of in the middle. So the fact that he's smart enough to kind of weave in and out of traffic, he's good enough to win challenges, and he's smart enough to be able to make a case for himself if he did happen to make it to the end, I just think his odds are probably the best to make it there. I would say Spencer or Jeremy. Those would be my top two.
I have to agree with everything he just said. And I would have said Joe more so, but after hearing you guys' arguments for Spencer, that just seems right. That's right.
I just don't see Joe making it to the end because he's going to have to win.
He's going to have to win out.
Like five immunity challenges in a row. There's the odds of him coming up against a challenge that are not fit to his specifications. Like one more of those and he's probably gone. So I don't like his chances of doing that.
I think he's won so much, he's screwed. Like, there's no way. Like, he got out of it this time because no one trusted Fishback. But the next time he loses, they're probably going to toss him out. And he doesn't have the social game to turn people around.
We have seen something similar before, though. Like, I remember there was a guy named Judd who went by Fabio. That he won the last three immunity challenges and then won the whole thing. And then last season, Mike, he was on the outs because he put himself there, but he won like the final, I think it was like four immunity challenges. And since he got to the end, everybody voted for him. So it's still possible, but I think with the quality of competitors they have, that it's unlikely that Joe wins out. That's why I think his odds of winning are.
If they have any physical challenges left, they're going to go between, in my opinion, Joe and Jeremy. If they get cerebral, who do you think stands to gain the most advantage?
Spencer. I'm in total agreement. We're all in agreement. I think Spencer has the best chance to win, with the second closest being Jeremy. Even though Jeremy is a big target, very like Joe, Jeremy can at least talk himself out of it or find himself to wiggle.
And he still has an idol.
Yeah, and he still has an idol.
Nobody knows he has it either.
And no one, they know he's a target, but there's no one that just flat out doesn't trust him at all. Like everyone else that's left, I mean, maybe Kelly Wentworth, but everyone else is pretty indifferent to liking Jeremy. Whereas someone like Joe, Joe's a giant target and a lot of people don't trust him.
So does Tasha have any chance of surviving this, to being the survivor?
Absolutely.
The only way I can see
Tasha's in a great position too.
I was gonna say Tasha to me is third or fourth. Like,
especially if she and Jeremy stick together, he's going to be the bigger target ahead of her. Therefore, if they can make it through a couple more tribals unscathed, they're gonna take out Jeremy before Tasha. So at that point, Tasha could be down to a couple challenges and. She proved on her season that she was a really strong physical and mental competitor. So I think Tasha's in a decent position as well.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the...
I think the best of the remaining females, for sure.
I agree. And
I think the only remaining female that could actually go all the way.
I think Whitworth has a chance.
I do, too. I think the order, for me, I think it's Spencer, Jeremy, Tasha, then Whitworth. And then... Everyone else, I think, doesn't have a chance.
Everyone else, I don't like their chances. Yeah. I mean, Joe would be in there somewhere because the chances of him still winning competitions, it's there. It's a real possibility. But Wentworth, she's made a couple of strong moves already. She could make the case of, I had nobody and still navigated all the way through this game. I found two idols. I made big moves.
Which she played
she can
one.
Make, she can make a case. That she played the best game if she makes it to the end.
Which she played her one idol at the right spot, which is another case she could make. And who knows what she'll do with the second one, but there's a strong chance she'll figure out when to play it and play it at the right time.
Right.
I just can't see her making it that far, that much further. I agree with your assessments on what you're saying. She does make it to the end, the arguments that she has. I just can't see her making it much further.
Well, look at the people left. Yep. Like, I think out of the people left, I don't think there's anybody besides Kimmy that just wholly doesn't trust her. Like, the main the main enemy she had seemed to be gone, you know? Like, Savage is out of here. When Savage left, I mean, their target seemed to jump off of her. Even when she had Sierra, Sierra was a bigger target than her.
And they kind of drew lines in the sand the past couple tribals, because now it's come out like, okay, we're going after these guys. So Joe and his squad are going after Jeremy. Jeremy and his squad are going after Joe. So that leaves a lot of space for Wentworth to navigate through the rest of the game. I mean, you get through a couple more tribals without any votes thrown your way, and you have that idol. I mean, there are only 10 days left on the island. Do I think she's going to win? No. But I think she has a legit shot if she does make it to the end? Absolutely.
I agree with you hearing y'all's assessment of that if she makes it to the end, she has great arguments. I just don't think she would make it to the end. Who you think's going next? You think it is absolutely between Jeremy and Joe or Spencer that's going next, that'll be voted out next?
I think it is.
You think everybody will wake up and see them as the likely?
I expect Joe to win immunity, so I'm going to assume that it's not him. Jeremy still has the idol, so
I think it's just going to depend on a few things. I mean, it's tricky. I mean, if I had to put my finger on somebody going, maybe I'll say Kimmy just for the sake of saying someone. But a lot of things could go a certain way.
See, if they do an extreme blindside like they did before, I don't think Jeremy would even play his idol.
Oh wait, and you know what? You know what I just thought about? When they play the idol, it's before everyone votes, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's before. Okay.
By the way, there are only 8 people left.
No.
8. Okay, 8. Okay.
Wait a minute. Well, are you saying
before they announce the votes, but not before?
Yeah, they vote.
They vote, and then you have to
play their idol.
Wait, they vote, and then they play the idol?
Right. So
yeah.
Okay. So
that way they can still vote for you, but those votes don't count if you play it.
Okay. Yeah.
My best chance of me, the way I think it might happen tomorrow, you know, it could be a situation where, you know, Wentworth or Jeremy feels like they have to use the idol and someone else goes home as an expense. And that's where I think someone like Kimmy could go home.
I would think they would go for somebody like Keith instead of Kimmy, but just because he is a threat to win a competition. I don't think Kimmy is.
I think Kimmy, she has a dislike for Wentworth, and I think I don't know. I just feel like the seeds of trust could be just kind of totally unraveled with her faster than they could with Keith.
Yeah, the fact that we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen speaks to how strong this season has been overall. Because I can't remember ever watching a season of Survivor that was as good as this one.
And not as predictable. I mean, we're sitting here debating, and literally are going from person to person, and we're saying, one of us may say, I don't like their chances, the other two say, I like their chances, the next time it's two of us saying, I like their chances, one say, I don't like their chances. That speaks to just how strong the season really is.
Yeah, I mean, there are a million things that could happen from here to the end
exactly.
That completely change the game. I mean, it's just like in cards, like, every card that's dealt changes your odds completely. So, depending on what the challenges are and who says what, like, I mean, it's a crapshoot at this point. I really don't know.
Yeah,
I'm hoping we get to the. We haven't done the. My favorite challenge is the auction.
And I'm the food auction.
That. I'm hoping that. Yeah, I'm hoping that's Wednesday. I can't remember how many people usually is in the game when they do that. I don't know if they keep it that consistent, but
usually done it by now at this point.
Really? It may be Wednesday then. I'm hoping it is.
Well, the title of Wednesday's episode is Tiny Little Shanks to the Heart.
Yeah, well, I know that this is the family episode, so they're bringing the loved ones to the island.
Could be interesting. It's
Depending on who wins that and who they choose to go with, I mean, that completely changes everything, like you were saying earlier.
Well, and like you just said, yeah, I mean it does kind of points to how good of a season this has been. When I don't have a clue, I don't have a clue, and I will be watching live on Wednesday. As some of you know, I struggle to watch things live.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. I have to stay off of Facebook and Twitter for a few hours, being on the West Coast. But yeah, so I have to avoid spoilers at all costs. But yeah, I'll be watching as soon as I can.
Well, guys,
luckily I don't ever see stuff from Twitter, and Twitter, yes, but I stay off it. But I never see something on Facebook about Survivor. I know people do comment on it. I just ain't friends with anybody that would ruin it for me.
Yeah, I usually just kind of start skimming the second anything looks. I see exclamation points or something, I'm out.
Yes,
that's all it takes. I don't need to.
It takes discipline. Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a great episode. We'll have to come back next week or in a couple of weeks and just discuss what's been going on. It's been a good show.
All right, thanks for having me, man.
All right, tune in on Friday. We should have an NBA podcast. It'll be an NBA roundtable featuring some special guests. You might even see some of the guests that you're listening to right now. But we'll be back later this week. It's been the Gazelle Podcast.